Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Thursday morning, April the 9th, 2026, 4926, 10 and a half minutes past the hour. Glad to have you with us for the ride this morning. And as many of you know, there has been a lot going on in Ohio, but certainly a lot going on in the world over the last couple days, really since Easter Sunday and dating back to February 28th, when strikes were first carried out on Iran. What is going on? We're not really sure at this point. Tuesday night, the United States was going to attack Iran, and according to one of the president's social media posts, wipe a whole civilization off the face of the earth. That did not happen. At 6:30 p.m. on Tuesday night, about 90 minutes before that was about to happen, the president said a ceasefire had been agreed to with Iran. Although we found out yesterday, maybe that's not the case. The Strait of Hormuz, which apparently is the deal breaker here, being back open, is open, but Iranian military are still searching vessels that go through there, and there possibly still could be a charge. Lebanon is still being attacked by Israel. Iran says that wasn't part of the deal. We're really not sure where we are at this point, but to talk about this and so many other things that have happened in the last month or so, we're so glad to welcome back to these microphones one of our favorite people. He is the 68th governor of the great state of Ohio, Governor Ted Strickland. Governor Strickland, how are you?
I am great, Scott, and I hope you and all of your listeners are feeling good and optimistic on this morning.
We are. We hope you had a great Easter, and it's been an interesting time. I want to start with a broad question, Governor Strickland. Since February 28th, when Iran was attacked by the United States, what have you seen? What has happened here from your perspective?
Well, we are in a mess. Before we attacked Iran, the Strait of Hormuz was open. It was considered an international waterway. Some 150 major oil-carrying vessels passed through that strait each day, representing about 20% of the world's use of oil. And now that strait is closed or open, we don't know for sure. Iran is now saying apparently that they want to charge a toll for ships that pass through there. So we've really messed things up. Things are worse now than they were when this so-called incursion started. And we've lost American lives. We have killed thousands of innocent civilians, apparently, in Iran, as we've bombed indiscriminately. We are not safer than we were. In fact, we were less safe than we were. We have a so-called ceasefire, but no one seems to know exactly what is in that ceasefire. Israel is continuing to bombard Lebanon, killing literally thousands of civilians, innocent civilians. Our European partners are unwilling to join in this effort because they consider it an illegal war. So things are a mess. And this president and this so-called Secretary of War can brag and boast all they want to, but the fact is that up to this point, what has happened in Iran has been a total disaster.
Governor Strickland, would you say that the United States has committed illegal activities, maybe war crimes, with what we have done to and the threats we've made against Iran since February the 28th and the things that have ramped up over the last week?
Well, I think the president is in danger of committing war crimes. Scott, when he says that he's going to destroy Iran's civilization, apparently this ignorant president of ours doesn't understand that Iran's civilization is an ancient civilization going back thousands of years. And when you say you're going to destroy a civilization, that certainly implies you're going to destroy the people of Iran. And that certainly would be a war crime. Now, is the mere threat of doing that a war crime? That's for the attorneys to figure out, I guess. Thankfully, it didn't happen. Would it have happened if some kind of agreement had not been reached at the last minute? Well, our Secretary of War says that it would have happened, that we had the targets and that we were ready to go and destroy their water supply, their energy supply, all the things that make life possible. And we were threatening to do that. This president was threatening to kill a civilization. That's not what I'm saying, Scott. That's what he said. And it's just reprehensible and shameful that the president of the United States would be so irresponsible to even suggest such a thing.
Governor Strickland, what is your best guess as to why this all started on February the 28th? A lot of people feel it was brought on by the persuasion of Israel and Netanyahu. A lot of people feel that the president has something to gain here. A lot of people feel that the president just wants to eliminate the threat of Iran, if there was a threat. Why do you think this all started?
Well, certainly, Benjamin Netanyahu had a big hand in what happened here. I don't think there's any doubt about that. In fact, I think it's legitimate to say that Netanyahu has determined our foreign policy in the last several months, certainly, but absolutely in the last several weeks. Netanyahu is under indictment in Israel. The legal scholars seem to believe that if this war were to end, Netanyahu would face the court for corruption charges and maybe end up in jail. It is in Benjamin Netanyahu's best interest to stay engaged in military conflict, because as long as that's happening, he is not facing trial in Israel. And so that may be what Netanyahu thinks is in his best interest, but it's certainly not what's in America's best interest. And I think Netanyahu has led Donald Trump around by the nose. And I don't think we would have gone into Iran when we did had it not been for the overwhelming influence of Netanyahu on this president. And quite frankly, Marco Rubio basically said the same thing a few weeks ago, he said, we knew that Israel was going to attack Iran, and we knew that if they did, Iran would attack us. So we went ahead and proceeded with our own attack. That's not the way for a great country to carry out its foreign policy, Scott. We ought not to let any other country, Israel or any other country, determine what our foreign policy is. That's something that should be determined by the president with the consent of the Congress, because it is the Congress that has the constitutional authority to declare war. Now, the president can call this an excursion if he wants to, but when Americans are dying, when thousands of civilians are dying, when we are spending $1 billion a day on this war, it is a war. It's not an incursion. It is a war. And I believe the president has acted illegally by conducting this war without going to Congress and getting their consent.
Governor Strickland, we have less than 2 weeks now, 2 weeks from this past Tuesday, to decide what's going to happen. As you said, we're not really sure what's going on now. We think that Lebanon is still being bombed. A matter of fact, we're pretty sure that it is by Israel. We think that the Strait of Hormuz is certainly not open clear, like the president said it needed to be, for this to be solved. They could be charging a toll to go through. Military could still be inspecting vessels that go through there. What happens in 10 days, 11 days from now when the two-week ceasefire expires at this point?
Well, the sad fact is that we do not know what's likely to happen in 10 days or so. It is possible that this war will just intensify with more killing and more bombing and more destruction. It is possible, I guess, that a more permanent agreement could be reached, but we do not know. And we're getting conflicting information from this administration. I mean, if you listen to the press conference that the president and the Secretary of War held yesterday, it was all bluster and bombast and we won and a big victory for our military. Well, Scott, we have the most powerful military in the world. No one doubts the ability of the United States to achieve military victory over a country like Iran. We don't doubt that. Of course we do. We've got the best equipment, the best military, the best training of any country on earth. But the question is, what do you get from using that military? Are we safer today than we were before the war started? No. Is the Strait of Hormuz open as it was before the war? No, it is being blockaded. Are we closer to getting the enriched uranium out of Iran than we were before the war started? Absolutely not. So we really haven't accomplished much of anything at this point, and yet Heslop and the president stand up there and brag about all that we've done militarily. Well, of course we've our military is the greatest. God, there's no question about that. No country on earth questions that. But listen, Iran is not really a small country. Iran has about 92 million people. It's an old culture, an old country that goes back thousands of years. It is, by and large, an educated country. Now, it's being controlled by Muslim extremists. But, Scott, we have Christian nationalist extremists influencing our government. I mean, my gosh, the president and the secretary of war stand up there and invoke God as a justification for this war. I mean, it's blasphemy, absolutely blasphemy, and it's contrary to our Constitution. It's contrary to the history of our nation. Scott, I want to read to you a portion of a prayer that Secretary Hessip prayed at the Pentagon. You know, he holds these Christian prayer meetings at the Pentagon. He doesn't hold Catholic prayer meetings, and he doesn't hold Muslim prayer meetings, but he holds Christian prayer meetings, supposedly Christian prayer meetings. But I just want to read you a part of a prayer that he prayed recently at the Pentagon. He prayed for U.S. troops, now I'm quoting here, U.S. troops to deliver, quote, overwhelming violence of action against those who deserve no mercy. And then he said, we ask these things with bold confidence in the mighty and powerful name of Jesus Christ. Oh, Scott, that is so contrary to the teachings of the New Testament. Celebrating violence and celebrating the lack of mercy and then invoking the mighty and powerful name of Jesus Christ to justify that, it is reprehensible. It is dangerous. And just as Iran is controlled by extremist Muslims, people like Hessip here in this country are leading us down the path where we are controlled by a theocracy and a theology of his choosing. You know, he belongs to a church that believes that women should not have the right to vote. Think of that. And he's our Secretary of War. We are in trouble as long as these people continue to maintain control of our government.
Governor Strickland, you are obviously a former governor, politician, but also a former Methodist minister, somebody who has had religious training. When you look at the things that are being invoked by the president, the language in regard to religion, but also politics here, as you just said, the Secretary of Defense, what's going on here in other countries, possible continuing loss of life, how do you feel as a politician, but how do you feel as a former Methodist minister? Is this the right thing to do religiously?
Well, Scott, I think we should... you know, I'm not a Catholic, I'm a Protestant, but I deeply respect the Pope, who is an American Pope. I think we should listen to what he says. And he says, when you invoke the name of God in prayer, and you involve yourself in activities that take human life unnecessarily, you've got blood on your hands. And the Pope has been urging an end to this conflict because innocent people, are being slaughtered. They say, the news reports say that the bombing, Israel's bombing in Lebanon yesterday took more civilian lives, innocent lives, than in any other day of this conflict. So innocent people are being killed, and for what purpose? For what purpose? The president says it was to get the enriched uranium. Well, you know, they're not talking about that much now, are they? You don't hear that talked about much. The president says we're fighting to reopen the Strait of Hormuz. But before the war started, it was open. and about 150 ships were passing through there every day. And now it's closed, and we're talking about how we're going to get that open. So, yes, are there reasons for a just war? I believe there are. I believe World War II was a justified war given what Hitler and Mussolini and the Japanese were doing. I think we were justified in going to war. But the fact is, we attacked Iran. This is a war of choice. We chose to go to war. And I think at the urging of Netanyahu, it's just really quite sad, I think. I mean, I've been asking myself, and we all should, I think, you know, we love our families, we love our neighbors, we love our country. How would we feel if thousands of us were being slaughtered every day by another country? I mean, of course we have the ability to go over there and destroy whatever we want to destroy. We can destroy their water supply. We can destroy their utilities. We can destroy. Of course we can. Because we've got the greatest military on the face of the earth. But for what purpose? What is the outcome? What outcome do we want from this conflict? What outcome do we want to justify this incredible loss of human life? As I said, we're not talking much about the enriched uranium now. We're talking about opening the Strait of Hormuz, and that was open before the war started. This war has resulted in that strait being closed. But before this war started, it was open. It was considered an international water passageway. But now it's we don't know what it is now, because we don't know what this ceasefire agreement entails, and there's so many questions that are unanswered at this point.
Governor Strickland, I want to go back to Easter morning, because this is significant for a lot of people. Easter morning, probably the holiest day in the United States of America. The president sent this message out via Truth Social Easter morning. Tuesday will be Power Plant Day and Bridge Day, all wrapped up in one in Iran. There will be nothing like it. Open the effing strait, you crazy bastards, or you'll be living in hell. Just watch. Praise be to Allah, President Donald J. Trump. And he spelled out effing. It wasn't effing, as I said. Now,
sure.
that is what the citizens of the United States of America woke up to on Easter morning as their tweet from the president. Now, a lot of people would say, well, this is who Donald Trump is. He's used language.
Oh,
like,
Scott, I don't want to hear this is the way Donald Trump is. I mean, what kind of excuse is that? This man is unhinged. He has no moral underpinnings. To send out that tweet on Easter Sunday morning, think of that. And then he ends it by saying, praise be to Allah. He was mocking their religion. I mean, what decent human being would send out such a message to the people of this country on Easter morning? I'm sorry I interrupted you, but I'm tired of people saying, and you were starting to quote that, people saying, oh, well, that's just the way Donald Trump is. You know, we ought to accept that. That's just the way he is. No, we ought not to accept it. We ought not to accept the President of the United States using the F word in a tweet and calling people bastards and then mocking the religion of Islam all in one tweet on Easter Sunday morning. That's reprehensible. Reprehensible.
So this comes to my question, Governor Strickland. A lot of people have called for the 25th Amendment to be invoked against Donald Trump and he be removed from office. Former or current governor of Illinois, J.B. Pritzker, a lot of Democrats. But Marjorie Taylor Greene, of all people, said it should be done. Anthony Scaramucci, who worked for the president, said it should be done. Do you believe that a lot of people feel it's not going to happen with the people who surround the president, but do you believe that this president is no longer mentally capable of fulfilling his duties and should be removed from office?
Well, I do believe that it would be justified to invoke the 25th Amendment and remove the president from office. I don't think it's going to happen. And even if it were to happen, we would end up with J.D. Vance being president, which would probably be even maybe worse. So the only way to deal with this, Scott, and I want your listeners to pay attention to this, the only way to deal with this rogue administration is to go to the polls in November and vote overwhelmingly for Democrats to control the House of Representatives and for Democrats to control the United States Senate. That's the only way we can put a break on this madness and put some reason back into our national decision-making. That's the only way to do it, is through the vote. And one other thing, Scott, I am worried that we may not have a fair and free election this November.
What do you think might happen?
I think that, well, the president's already taking certain steps, right? He's already asking states to turn over to him all of their voter rolls. And Ohio, our Secretary of State, has already done that. He wants to determine who is eligible to vote and who is not eligible to vote. And the Constitution is very clear. Voting procedures are under the control of the individual states, not the federal government. And many of my conservative Republican friends have for years railed against the federal government getting involved and taking over the responsibilities that rightly belong to the states. But this is an example of Donald Trump wanting state voter rolls so that he can determine who's eligible to vote and who isn't eligible to vote. Now, that's a threat. That's just one thing. But there are some who believe that on Election Day, he will actually send ICE agents or even the military to voting places to intimidate and depress the vote. And then, if the votes are counted and he loses, he may try to do what he did before and to declare the votes illegal and try to overthrow the will of the people. So I think there's real danger in what may happen come this November. I really believe that this president is capable of doing whatever he thinks it takes to stay in power.
Want to talk about the November elections here for a minute before we come back to Iran. Dr. Amy Acton, Vivek Ramaswamy, the gubernatorial race, a job you know very well, looks like that's going to be the matchup, even though Vivek does have a primary coming up here on May the 5th against Casey Putsch, but most people feel he's going to get through that fairly easy. New commercials for Vivek Ramaswamy have been appearing. He has spent $10 million on an ad buy here recently as his polls have started to go down. Most polls you look at show Amy Acton in the lead, but not by a whole lot. It's a tight race. What do you make of what's going on with the gubernatorial race, the $10 million ad buy, with only 6 months left to go right now?
Well, Scott, the good news is that Amy Acton is a wonderful human being, and would be a wonderful governor, and I am so strongly supportive of her. Amy Acton, as I hope your listeners know, grew up in the Youngstown area, experienced extreme poverty as a child, multiple housing locations, sometimes sleeping in a tent. She finished high school, went directly to medical school. She's 60 years old. She's been a doctor about 40 years. She's just a wonderful, decent, intelligent human being. Now, this is the thing that I think is amazing in these polls that you mentioned. Amy Acton has never run for a political office. Never. She said she, in high school, maybe for student council, but she's never run for a political office, certainly not a statewide political office. And Ohio is a difficult state to run in statewide because it's so big and diverse, so many different cities, small towns, rural areas, so many media markets. And she's never run statewide. And she's not spent money on advertising. Ramaswamy put $10 million into an ad buy, not Amy Acton, and yet she's still marginally just slightly ahead of him. Why is that? It's because Ramaswamy, I call him Ramaswampy, is a con man. He's a con man. He moved his company out of Ohio to Texas. Now, he wants to be governor of Ohio, and yet he moved his own company out of Ohio to Texas? And that doesn't make sense. Ramaswamy talks down to the people of Ohio. He has said Ohioans aren't successful because they're lazy. I mean, what right does he have to make that judgment about Ohioans? There are a lot of reasons why Ramaswamy ought not to be governor. And there are a lot of reasons why Amy Acton should be governor. Now, Amy Acton has recently put out some very specific proposals as to what she would want to do to cut taxes for working families. She wants to do something about medical debt that's leading to so many bankruptcies. Other states have addressed medical debt in a way that's really beneficial to their people. We can do that in Ohio. I think Amy Acton is thought of by a lot of people as their family doctor, and that's why she's doing so well. Everywhere she goes, Scott, there are huge crowds. People love to listen to her and to hear her story, and to have her talk about what she wants to do for state, for Ohio as the governor. So anyway, I think it's going to be a tight race, but I really have great confidence that Amy Acton is going to capture the hearts of the people of Ohio, and that she will be elected our next governor.
Governor Strickland, I want to come to the treasurer's race here in Ohio. Of course, we have special interest in that here in Marion, with Mary Ellen Withrow being the hometown Marion's favorite daughter here in Marion. But this is an interesting race. You have Seth Walsh on the Democratic side, but the Republican primary coming up in less than a month is proving very interesting. You have Jay Edwards, who has been endorsed by the Vice President of the United States, J.D. Vance, and Christina Rogner, who has been endorsed by Vivek Ramaswamy. Now, first off, why do you think that the current gubernatorial candidate would endorse one person in a treasurer's race, and the vice president of the United States would endorse the other candidate in the treasurer's race in a Republican primary?
Well, that's an interesting question. Jay Edwards, as you know, is from Appalachia. He's from the Athens area, someone that I've known a long time. He's a Republican. I disagree with him about a lot of policy issues, but I don't think he's an extreme, extreme conservative. And I think his opponent in this race can legitimately be considered an extreme person. And I think Ramaswamy's an extreme person. And I think that's probably the reason he has chosen to support her. And my understanding is that she, early on, supported him. You know, he ran for a brief time to be president, and my understanding is that she supported him during that effort, and I think this is just payback time. My hope is that Jay Edwards will emerge from that victoriously, because I just think he's a more reasonable, less extreme person.
I want to point out some things here. I want to read the endorsement for Jay Edwards from Vice President J.D. Vance. He said, "Ohio needs leaders who will fight for working families and stand with President Trump's America First agenda. That's why I'm proud to endorse my dear friend Jay Edwards for Ohio Treasurer of State. Jay and I are both sons of Appalachia. We know what it's like to come from places the elites ignore, and we know the strength, pride, and values that build Ohio. Jay has never forgotten where he came from, and he spent his career standing up for Southeast Ohio and putting hardworking people first. As treasurer, Jay will safeguard Ohio's finances, defend conservative principles, and make sure our state's resources are working for the people, not special interest. If you want a strong America First conservative who will deliver results for all Ohioans, Jay Edwards is your guy. He has my full support. Vice President of the United States, J.D. Vance." How strong is that for a Vice President of the United States to put that out for a Republican treasurer primary candidate? And also, there have been ads running on television in which Jay Edwards is using the Vice President to promote his campaign, which I have not seen a treasurer ad here in Ohio in a long time.
Yeah, I agree with that observation, Scott. Why did the Vice President do it? I think it's probably personal relationships. I think he probably has known Jay Edwards in a way that he has not had a relationship with Ramaswamy. So I just think it's probably based on a personal relationship.
So if you had to guess who's going to come out in this primary on May the 5th, is it going to be Jay Edwards or Christina Roegner?
I don't know. My understanding is that Christina Roegner is a wealthy person. So I don't know if she's going to use overwhelming resources. I haven't seen any polling about that race, so I don't know for sure. But I hope Jay Edwards is the one who emerges, because he is from Appalachia, and he is a more reasonable person than his opponent.
And just when we get to the main on this, I guess we'll find out on Cinco de Mayo, May the 5th, who the candidate is going to be. But Jay Edwards has the support of the Vice President. Christina Roegner has the support of Vivek Ramaswamy. Somebody will face Seth Walsh. Now, Mary Ellen Withrow is the honorary chair of Seth Walsh's campaign, so that's a plus for him. Who do you think is going to pull this out in the fall? That's some heavy competition, Jay Edwards and Christina Roegner.
Well, Scott, this is my this is my prediction, and of course, I come from a biased point of view. But 20 years ago, when I was running for governor, the circumstances were similar to the circumstances that exist in Ohio now. The Republicans had three candidates that wanted to be governor: Jim Petro, Betty Montgomery, and Kim Blackwell. And they chose their weakest candidate, which was Blackwell. I was so happy not to have to face Petro or Montgomery. They were much stronger candidates. So that's one similarity between 20 years ago and what's happening today. There's something else that happened 20 years ago. There was scandal. Remember the CoinGate scandal? Well, we have a scandal this year, and that's the First Energy scandal. which has led to two suicides and prison terms, and God only knows what is going to happen. I'm not even sure that our candidate for the Republican candidate for governor, Mr. Houston, is going to escape that scandal. And so, what happened 20 years ago, I won overwhelmingly. And Sherrod Brown was on the ticket, and he won. And we carried every statewide office except the auditor's office. That was 20 years ago. And I think history may repeat itself. I think come election day, Amy will be elected governor, Sherrod will be returned to the Senate, and these so-called down-ticket offices, these statewide offices for treasurer and, you know, secretary of state and so on, I think the Democrats are likely to win those. I think we could have a sweep come this November because people are sick and tired of what's happening. Scott, our time is almost up, but I just want to mention something here that I heard about yesterday. You know, the president's priorities are all catawampus. I mean, you know, we're in the middle of a war, and he talks more about his ballroom than he talks about the cost of living and the high prices that Americans are facing and the cost of gasoline and so on and so forth. But the president has always portrayed himself as a big defender for American steel, right? Well, guess what kind of steel is going to be used to build his ballroom? It's going to be foreign steel. Foreign steel coming from the country of Luxembourg is going to be used in this $400 million ballroom. Where is his America First agenda when it comes to that? The president is out for himself. If someone's willing to give him some money or to give him some advantage, he doesn't give a damn where it's coming from, as long as it benefits him and his children. So I think we are in the middle of a big scandal. I think there is incredible corruption throughout the Trump administration, involving himself and his family. And I think the American people are coming to understand that. He has made billions of dollars just since he was elected president the second time. Think of that. While being president, he's making money. And that's so contrary to how other presidents, Republicans and Democrats, have behaved themselves in the past. Jimmy Carter was a peanut farmer. And when he became president, in order to avoid any conflict of interest or perceived conflict of interest, he divested himself from his peanut farm. Oh, I wish we had a president today that had that kind of moral compass.
Governor Strickland, if you were to meet President Trump today, what would you say to him?
Well, I would want to say, Mr. President, fall down on your knees and ask the American people for forgiveness for what you have done to them and to this country, to our standing in the world. That's what I'd want to say to him. But unlike Donald Trump, rather than do that, I would choose to be respectful. And I would say to the president, Mr. President, I disagree with much of what you're doing, but you are the president, and I recognize that, and I will treat you with the respect that a president is due.
Governor Strickland, you said something earlier in the interview. You said you feel that J.D. Vance could be possibly worse than Donald Trump as president. Why would J.D. Vance be worse?
Well, I think he's more intelligent. than Donald Trump. I think he is. I think he's driven by a set of beliefs and an ideology. I don't think Donald Trump is really driven by any code or a set of moral beliefs or political ideology. I think Donald Trump's only driven by what he perceives to be best for himself and his family. J.D. Vance, I believe, is an extreme person. I think he has betrayed his heritage, his growing up in he didn't grow up in Appalachia. He says he did, but he grew up in Middletown. That's not Appalachia, but I just think J.D. Vance is more driven by an ideology that I believe is ultimately more dangerous than what Donald Trump is driven by, and that's personal ambition.
With 4 minutes left to go here, Governor Strickland, what do you think is going to happen in the next 10 days of this ceasefire? Where are we going to be on Tuesday in a week and a half?
I don't know. And the troublesome thing is, no one knows, apparently, not even the president. This is what I hope happens. I hope the president calls Bibi Netanyahu and says, stop the bombing in Lebanon. That seems to be a major disagreement as to what this ceasefire should entail. Pakistan, who mediated the ceasefire agreement, says that he thinks cessation of hostilities in Lebanon was a part of that agreement. Iran thinks it was a part of that agreement. But Netanyahu says it wasn't. And so he's continuing to bomb. And as long as he continues to do that, I believe Iran is going to shut off the Strait of Hormuz, which would really make this ceasefire null and void. So if we want the ceasefire to exist and to become more permanent, and I do, then the president should insist that Netanyahu stop the bombing in Lebanon. And take that issue off the table. And then maybe the ceasefire will have a chance of being successful.
Governor Strickland, at this point in time, on April the 9th, 2026, with all the presidents that we've had, 45 presidents, where do you rank Donald Trump on that list?
Scott, without a doubt, in my mind, without a doubt, Donald Trump is the worst president this country has ever had. And we have had some scoundrels as presidents, as you know. But Donald Trump is the worst of the worst. And we are celebrating this year our 250th anniversary as a country. And we've had a lot of presidents. And some have been wonderful presidents. Wonderful presidents. Others have been mediocre, and others have been just scoundrels. But we've never had a president that has said and done the things that Donald Trump has said and done. I don't think we've ever had a president other than Donald Trump who on an Easter Sunday morning would choose to send out a tweet using the F word, calling people bastards, and mocking the religion of the Muslim faith. I just don't think we ever would have had a president that would stoop that low and conduct themselves in that way. I think Donald Trump is an injured, wounded, disturbed person. And if he wasn't president, I might have sympathy for him, because my perception is that he's not a joyful, happy person. that he's a person who carries around anger and he's vindictive. And that's what keeps him going day after day and hour after hour.
With 30...
So it's hard to have sympathy for him, Scott, when he's the president and he's doing so much destructive damage.
With 30 seconds left to go, do you think he's mentally well at this point?
I do not. I was a psychologist for much of my life. I've worked with mentally ill people in prisons and elsewhere. I don't believe, there's a difference, and I don't want to get into this, but there's a difference between a psychiatric diagnosis and a personality disorder. I don't think Donald Trump is mentally ill in terms of, I don't think he's a schizophrenic. I don't think he's any of those things. But I think he has a pervasive personality disorder, and at the center of that disorder would be narcissism. A narcissistic person thinks only of themselves, and they lack the ability to have empathy for other people and to see other people's, troubles and turmoils and so on and so forth empathetically. So I do think he is very disturbed and an unhappy, vicious, vindictive, angry person.
The 68th governor of the great state of Ohio, Governor Ted Strickland. Governor Strickland, it's always a pleasure to talk with you and get your candid take on what's going on in the world. Always, always interesting to have you on the program. Thank you so much for making the time for us.
Scott, I hope you and all of your listeners have a wonderful day.
Take care, Governor. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Governor Ted Strickland, very candid, to say the least. We've got a whole nother hour coming up. Don't go anywhere.
Boovil so badly. And we know that being rotten mean isn't going to get us that.